There's a trend afoot in police departments across the country, not to defund, but to reroute funds to unarmed crisis teams to respond to suicide threats or substance abuse calls, welfare checks, when a counselor and an EMT could de-escalate a situation while the mere presence of a police officer might do the opposite. People with mental illness in particular are disproportionately killed by police. Stories like that of Miles Hall in Walnut Creek, California. His family called the police because he was having mental health issues. He ran to officers with what turned out to be a gardening tool and was shot dead. Police are also, to a lesser extent, killed by the mentally ill. So Lynn, Massachusetts city officials recently set aside $500,000 to create an unarmed response team. Denver, Colorado has the new STAR program, short for Support Team Assisted Response. Albuquerque, New Mexico will be launching its new response team this fall. Well, we decided to check in with the country's first such program. It's called CAHOOTS. That stands for Crisis Assistance Helping Out on the Streets. It brings together the Eugene, Oregon Police Department and EMTs and mental health crisis responders from the White Bird Clinic. Eugene Police Chief Chris Skinner is here. Chief Skinner, welcome.
Thank you.
And we're also joined by Daniel Feltz. He's a medic and a crisis worker, full-time in the CAHOOTS van. And Daniel, this began as a grassroots counterculture group. When it later partnered with police, the community worried you'd be in, well, CAHOOTS. So you just named it CAHOOTS. Have I got that
right? Yeah, you know, we gotta own up to that relationship. Yeah, I think that kind of genuineness is what has kept us successful with the community for 31 years.
And Chief Skinner, your own department has faced claims of excessive force after response to mental health calls. These calls are now routed to CAHOOTS, but it doesn't have to be someone in a psychotic episode. It can be a call about noisy teenagers or a homeless person who may be disrupting someone else, anything that can escalate. But how does the system work?
What happens is you have really, really skilled call takers that are asking the right questions to try and best match the response with the need, and then based on that, they're dispatching CAHOOTS or shifting that call to CAHOOTS. And interesting, Robin, in our community, it's so used to CAHOOTS, and they're so well-branded and so well-known. Oftentimes, people already have identified that CAHOOTS is the right answer for what they're seeing and will call us, and they will just simply say, hey, I need a CAHOOTS worker or I need a CAHOOTS van to come out here. So it's working really well.
So what might some of the calls be about?
Sure. It's everything that we're trying to not send an armed police officer or need to send an armed police officer to, whether it's a behavioral health issue or somebody that's having a mental health crisis or maybe substance addicted psychosis. You think about some of those things. If somebody's having a rough day and causing some concern, or somebody has some concern around the behavior enough to where they feel like they need to call non-emergency 911, why would we send a resource that we know has a propensity to escalate things by their mere presence?
Can you talk a little bit more about that just before we turn to Dan? Some of us in some cities have been blessed to have police departments that have crisis teams. Here in the Boston area, if you have a loved one who's mentally ill, there's a special code that you say when you call, and you're directed right to that team. You usually at that point know them on a first name basis, but they're still responding to the situation in uniforms with guns, no pun intended here, which are triggers for some people. Is that it? Is that the difference? There's not a gun on a hip?
Well, I don't know if it's so much a gun on the hip as it is maybe the uniform on the body. When you think about somebody that's in crisis, the thought of an authority figure that has the ability to take away your civil liberties and take you into custody and arrest you can be really alarming. It's really hard to de-escalate a situation if somebody's immediate response to seeing a uniform is believing that they're going to jail.
We're reading that out of 24,000 calls to CAHOOTS last year there in Eugene, police backup was only needed 150 times. Dan Feltz, I'm going to bring you in. What is it that you do at CAHOOTS? What kind of training do you have to have?
Yeah, so I came to the CAHOOTS team with an EMT basic license, and then from there, trained into the mental health role. We want around 700 calls to service responded to before we even have someone considered provisionally trained. And that's when they then step onto the van with someone like myself now, who is cross-trained in either role, who can step in to assist the trainee if they are encountering a new situation. And there is always a new situation to be encountered out there.
What do you do? when you come upon a situation and it is, there is a whiff of this could go south real fast. How do you disarm that?
So we have to stay safe. But so long as I can use my voice, you know, I might not even leave the van if I think someone's looking a little edgy and they've got something they could bonk me with. But I can kind of start that process of, hey, how are you doing? What's going on? Can we check in? My name's Dan. And I kind of like emphasize that we are unarmed, we're free, we're confidential, and we are there to help. You're not in any trouble. We can tell you're having a bad day. Is there anything we can do to help? I don't have any legal authority over you. I don't have any desire to have any authority over you. What can I do to assist? I've never been assaulted by a client, and you know, we've responded where there have been weapons on scene. There have been escalated folks, and some of that's luck, and some of that is the training and the connection to the community that the CAHOOTS team provides.
And we understand that you also do, you can do medical treatment right there. You can tell people what resources are. You can even drive them to resources. And when we think about the police department doing this kind of thing, which is time consuming, what a gift that must be to you, Chief Skinner. Your thoughts on what you might be seeing happening elsewhere, or maybe what happened before CAHOOTS, because a 2016 study in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine estimated 20 to 50% of fatal encounters with law enforcement, as many as 50%, involve someone with a mental illness. But as I said, to a much lesser extent, but still tragic, police killed by the mentally ill. Do you think everyone is safer with an unarmed team, with an ununiformed team in a city?
Well, I certainly do. And it's interesting we're having this conversation. We just had our 10th anniversary of losing a police officer to a handgun shooting with a mentally ill person that shot one of our motor officers. And so that's front of mind for us on how mental illness plays a role in fatalities both ways. And I would say that we think that the model that we have here works. Our police department is call to call to call. It's not uncommon for us to have 30 or 40 calls holding for our police officers to try to respond to. And so they don't have the ability to go to many of these calls. And what I've always said that people sometimes don't see in the data is if we didn't have a response to people that were in crisis, we know that sometimes those people in crisis have a tendency to escalate and escalate and escalate to where it maybe does become dangerous. And then it does require a police response.
By the way, I just have to ask, there's a fraction of those many calls coming in, it sounds like, where police have had to go out with CAHOOTS. Give us an example of what might have called for that.
Sure. In a small percentage of calls, there may be something where an individual either displays a weapon with some kind of intent or becomes assaultive or combative, that CAHOOTS has the ability to call us and that we drop what we're doing and we respond to support them. There may be other instances where it's maybe a co-response, where it's a suicidal subject with a weapon, and maybe an initial crisis negotiation team response might also have some CAHOOTS backup.
And by the way, it's life-saving. It's time-saving. It also saves a lot of money. We understand, yes, you help fund CAHOOTS, but even after that, the things you don't have to do are helping you out.
100%. We defer about 8% of our calls to CAHOOTS based on types of calls that are coming in. Even that 8% saves us money and maybe more than anything frees us up to do the things that I believe police officers should be doing, which is life and property safety, in-progress calls, and protecting victims.
Yeah. And Dan, just one last question to you. Can you just think of an instance, maybe thinking of all the national stories we've seen, people pinned to the ground or, you know, shot when an officer mistook a garden weeder for a gun? You know, can you think of a moment where you thought, oh, this is the better way to go?
Yeah. When somebody Googles how to kill themselves, you know, suicide by cop pops up. And I love being able to tell people when I show up that they don't get to kill themselves because I'm not a cop, right? Like, I am there to help you out. I don't have that ability. And today, it's not going to happen.
And I'm not going to help you do it. I'm not going to be the one that does it. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, we're going to keep you here. And also, like, that's a really traumatizing way for everybody. Let's talk about this. Let's break this down. Let's see what's going on. Let's see where the gaps in your support system are. And let's normalize this very human experience of reaching a breaking point, of having a total crisis and losing hope for yourself in the future. Let's connect you with care and let's figure out how we can make things feel just a little bit better.
That was incredibly powerful. Suicide by cop isn't going to happen on my watch. Eugene, Oregon Police Chief Chris Skinner, medic and CAHOOTS crisis responder Daniel Felt. Thank you both so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin.
It was a pleasure.
And as always, if you need help right now, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. For the future, other cities are considering CAHOOTS programs, and Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon is pushing the CAHOOTS Act, which would give Medicaid funding to such programs. And some cities are considering unarmed civilians responding to low-level activity like traffic enforcement.